This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Human achievement can be slow. 200,000 years to go from the wheel to your jalopy? Really? But today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply. When AI is everywhere, every process can be automated and accelerated. 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 UiPath, the AI everywhere foundation of innovation.
Ah, it's a big day in L.A. Big day in L.A. By the way, 1 hour from right now, not stepdad Leo, who's a Giants fan. Going to give him like 2 minutes. 2 minutes on the show. In the meantime, let's sneak in a couple of calls. Let's go to Luis in Lakewood. Luis, you're on 710. What's up, man? Hey, Luis.
Hey, guys. How are you? Just wanted to touch on something that Travis Asliwa brought up earlier. You guys were talking about Urias' struggles in the first inning.
Yep.
They brought up the fact that Buster Posey alone is hitting something like 10 for 20 against him. So I'd be interested in knowing what Knebel's numbers look like against the top of the Giants lineup. And real quick, too, in regards to the Lakers that you brought up, I know the big thing has been, you know, AD at the five. But, man, having that rim protector in and having AD at the four – that defense has looked solid, man. And having Bazemore in at the two, he's looked like a longer, more athletic KCP. So I really like that lineup defensively. I know you give up shooting, but, man, that's been pretty locked down. So big fan, guys. Let's get the win tonight, yeah?
Thanks, Luis.
I actually liked, Mace, what they did the other night when they started the big three with Melo and Bazemore. Because Bazemore's a big guard who defends.
He does defend,
so that gives you 2 6-4 guards, Westbrook and Bazemore. And Melo, although he doesn't, you know, defend great at this age, he's the guy that gets left open, and he can make open shots. So if they could get enough defense out of that lineup, the big three plus Bazemore and Melo, I don't hate that.
Yeah, Bazemore can defend. He's a better defender than Ellington is. And is Ellington healthy?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He's not going to be ready for opening night.
Who are the guys that are not healthy?
Right now, Ariza's out for 8 weeks.
Okay.
THT is out for at least a month. Ellington won't be ready for opening night, I don't think. Frank Vogel wasn't very confident. I ran into Malik Monk last night. He says he's good. And Kendrick Nunn is the other one that was nursing an ankle. So it's Ariza, THT out for sure. Ellington probably out for the first week.
Okay, got it. Let's go to Albert in Carson. Albert, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, yes, I wanted to comment about the Knebel start.
Yep.
I don't like it at all. I think it's a horrible idea. You know, Mace keeps saying that Urias has came out the bullpen and that Knebel had a good game in San Francisco. He fits well, but this stage is huge tonight, and I don't think Knebel's ever had a moment like this in his career. And I'm going to hang up and see what you guys say about
okay. Thanks very much. I'm going to be on the disagreeable side here. I like the move. I think the move does make sense. I think it puts Gabe Kapler in a uniquely difficult situation deciding what exactly his lineup is going to be. And the whole point is the Dodgers are conceivably expecting a close game. And if this works out right, the Dodgers are going to have the right matchups at the end of the game, and Gabe Kapler will not be able to answer. So I like it. We still have not seen the Giants lineup. They've got to put it into their fancy algorithm lineup machine to see exactly what gets spit out. But they're working overtime trying to figure it out. And that lineup is going to be key. It'll tell us whether or not Gabe Kapler is taking the bait and going with a lot of right-handers. Or left-handers, or if he's going to play the long game and leave the left-handers or leave the right-handers in. It's confusing. Leave the right-handers in to face Julio Urias, who, by the way, still, and I really do believe this, you know, it doesn't matter. It's the postseason. This is when you just count outs. You need 27 outs. Julio Urias has a chance to give them 5 to 6 innings tonight. It just won't be the first 5 to 6 innings. And to your point, John, there will be somebody up in the bullpen. It could be Urias throwing in the bullpen while Corey Knable is actually on the mound. Or Corey Knable could go two. Or Buster Gratterall could come out and throw the second inning, and Julio Urias would start the third. We're counting outs. We're counting 27 outs. And I think Julio understands that. I think Julio pitched out of the bullpen last year during the World Series, was on the mound during critical situations out of the bullpen. I think he's the right guy for this job.
Albert, I agree with you. I think they're unnecessarily injecting Corey Knable into this process. In a perfect world, Mason lined up what the pitching lineup would be. In a perfect world, it would be Urias starting, handing the ball off to Blake Treinen, who hands it to Kenley Jansen. Why are you injecting Corey Knable into this process? The answer is they're trying this stunt for the lineups. If it works,
you're calling
it'll
it a
be
stunt
heralded.
Now.
Well, but if it works, it'll be heralded as a genius move. But if it doesn't work, then you deserve to be second-guessed because you did something unnecessarily risky.
Well, listen, if it doesn't work, you do deserve to be second-guessed. Although, you really only deserve to be second-guessed if Knable blows up. If Knable doesn't blow up, then it worked, right?
Unless you screwed up Urias by him start.
I see what you're doing. Greg, you said Vin Scully checked in?
Yes, Vin Scully has checked in on Twitter, which is not real life, John. To my knowledge, he says, tonight's game between the Dodgers and Giants is the most important game in the history of their rivalry. With nearly identical records and so much at stake, I believe this to be the case. Many of you might consider the 1951 game for the NL pennant to be bigger, perhaps, but that was more about the greatest moment with Bobby Thompson's game-winning home run. I have one prayer for tonight's game. However it's decided, I hope there's no GOAT, no single player to shoulder the blame for a loss like Bill Buckner in the 1986 series between the Red Sox and Mets.
Yeah, boy, to be a GOAT in this game, the wrong kind of GOAT. That would be
brutal.
Well,
it would get you Darvish off the hook, right?
Yeah, no, we'd forget about you if somebody screws this thing up tonight.
I mean, Brandon Crawford can screw it up and I'll be fine.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't care if they've got one. I don't care if somebody there screws up, but yeah, that's tough. It is tough to be that guy, and this is a game of that leverage. I mean, this is the most, he says, the biggest game in the history of the rivalry. It's hard to make an argument against that, isn't it?
Well, Vin just made it, the 1951 game where Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard around the world. I think that's considered the most important Giants-Dodger game ever, and tonight is the comp. Tonight is a modern-day comp. By the way, little-known fact,
yep.
Sitting in the Dodger dugout for the Dodgers was a baseball player before he became a basketball player. When the shot heard round the world happened was Bill Sharman, who
really?
Was in the NBA Hall of Fame as a coach and a player. Yeah, he was a backup infielder for the Dodgers, and he went on to be the coach of the Lakers team that won 33 in a row.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
I had no idea. Had no idea. Let's sneak one more call in here. Let's go to John in Orange. John, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great.
Big time listener for a long time.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, guys. Listen to you guys for a long time. I have a lot of points.
Okay.
But the main one here is that I completely disagree with what they're pulling today. It's a game five. It's winner take all. We don't need to be experimenting with a 20-game winner that has been dominating all year. Why are we making this move now? Why?
Because the Dodgers want better matchups late in the game.
Mason, you of all people know, everybody that plays sports, no matter what sport it is, we are creatures of habit. You're taking Urias' complete setup, pre-game setup, that he goes through every single game that he's won 20 games with. You cannot expect him just to come in second, third inning when he's been doing this all year, and then you change it up at the end.
But I've seen him do it. I saw him do it during the postseason last year. I saw him do exactly this.
You've seen him do it. We know we can do it, but what if today is the day he does not do that? What if they blow up and get 3-4 runs of us in the first inning? We're willing to lose the game in the first inning by experimenting something?
if he blows up in the first inning, then it was clearly the wrong move. I just think it's the right move to set up matchups for late in the game. But
Mace, answer me this. If
John?
Go ahead.
I'm kind of with you, John. And Mace, answer me this. If you wouldn't do it to Buehler or Kershaw or Scherzer, why are you doing it to Julio?
Well, you're not doing anything to Julio. What are you doing to him? He's going to give you six innings.
Taking away his start.
He's going to give you five or six innings. He's going to be the winning pitcher. Just happens to be a different way, another to get us better matchups late in the game. That's the whole point of it.
Guys, also, Julio's been a reliever. Buehler and Max have been starters. They've never been on the relieving side. I think that's why Julio's okay doing it. And I think he's going to be fine. He's a reliever who became a starter this year, which is fine.
Yep. There you go. Jorge makes the winning point. I agree with Jorge. I always agree with Jorge.
Oh, stop.
Jorge gets it right. I'll tell you what. Jorge knows his Dodgers. He is a passionate Dodger fan.
Twitter is not real
life.
Wait a minute.
You always agree with Jorge?
Yeah, generally speaking, I can't. Okay. Yeah.
Jorge, what do you think of that picture of what do you think of that picture of Mason that they're putting on the jumbotron at Staples Center?
Oh, Marty McFly, the Marty McFly.
Oh, Jorge, yeah. You think you can trust a guy? By the way, I've gotten many complimentary comments about that photo on the video board at Staples Center.
From the Sierra Club.
I cannot wait to see it live, John. I cannot wait to see it live. It won't be Tuesday because we'll be in the National League Championship Series. Tuesday would be game three of the NLCS against the Braves at Dodger Stadium. So I won't be able to be there for opening night, but I intend to be there very soon for the first half of a Lakers game.
I think that our thing airs in the second half.
And I will wear the exact outfit that I wear in that picture for my first Lakers game.
You really should.
Why? You want everybody to think that you only have one outfit?
No, so I make sure people recognize me. See, I'm the guy on the board.
That's ridiculous.
I'm of the Pepe Mantilla school.
You're the guy that wears the band's name, the band shirt to the band's concert, huh?
You salute the crowd, John. That's what you should be doing, like Pepe. You salute the crowd. I want people to know, and I want people to know how much I appreciate them. You just
Pepe has never drawn a response in 20 years of saluting the crowd. No one has ever saluted him back. He's doing it for his own personal worth.
He's doing it for the fans, John. He's doing it for the
fans.
Fans
don't notice.
The fans see him on the video board. You're kind of being rude to the fans by not acknowledging them when you're shown on screen.
When I'm shown on screen, I'm busy working, doing my job, hard at work.
You're too big for the fans. You just ignore this recognition that comes your way.
So you think that everyone else, that Bill McDonald, Stu Lance, Michael Thompson, me, Mike Trudell, are all doing it wrong, and Pepe's doing it right?
Hashtag, I'm with Pepe.
Maybe you can get Pepe to wear a puffy vest.
Oh,
show solidarity with you.
Great in a puffy vest. It's in for this quote-unquote season. All right, Matthew Berry's on right now. He's coming up next. So that means, and by the way, my fantasy football team is on an absolute tear, Dramatic win last week. My eyebrow is feeling more secure. I'm still tied for last place, but I feel really good about where my team is. It's coming together sort of the same way the Lakers will take a little time to come together. My fantasy football team is taking a little time to come together. If you've got a question for Matthew Berry, should I play this guy? Should I play that guy? Keep it simple. Don't say I've got four guys for three flex spots or whatever the hell you're doing. It's this guy or it's that guy. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. And you can also tweet at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L.A. Ireland. Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto, is coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Big day. Game 5, NLDS at Oracle Park tonight. Game time is 6:07 p.m. The Dodgers opt to go with an opener, Corey Knebel versus Logan Webb, who was absolutely spectacular in Game 1 against the Dodgers. It's truly a dramatic night in L.A. sports. And do we have Matthew Berry?
One second.
Okay, well, Matthew Berry here in a minute. And people are lining up on the phones, 877-710-ESPN. People are tweeting at Venice Mace, at LA Ireland, and joining us right now is the great Matthew Berry. Matthew, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Always good to talk to you. How are you?
We're nervous.
Very good, Matthew.
Yeah, we're nervous because tonight is Game 5 of the NLDS, Dodgers versus Giants. Do you have a feel for that one?
I wouldn't say that I have a feel for it, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm rooting for the Giants.
What?
Probably unpopular, yeah.
Why?
Well, a couple reasons why. First off, you guys know I'm an Angels guy. Like when I, you know, pick my team, I had Evan Longoria is a friend of mine. I play in a lot of fantasy leagues with Evan. He's been on my podcast many times, so I'm rooting personally for Evan to win. And I have to be honest with you. I had one of the worst sporting experiences of my life at Dodger Stadium. You guys know I lived in L.A. for a number of years, and
yeah,
I season ticket holder for the Lakers, and I used to be a partial season ticket holder of the Dodgers. And I had tickets for opening day. And I went to my tickets. I went to the seats on opening day, and there was somebody already in my seat. And I'm like, these are my seats. And they pull out their tickets. They had the exact same seats. And we bring over the usher or whatever, and they're like, oh, this sometimes happens where they made a mistake. And anyway, I got put up, like, in the very last row, and no one from the team ever, like, called to apologize or try to make up to me. It was just like, you know. So I was done with the Dodgers after that.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. I would be, too. If that was me, I would be, too. All right, Matthew, let's get to
it. They couldn't have been more rude or less like, and it's opening day. It's like, you know, hey, you're excited about the season, and they couldn't have been more like, like, I was putting them off. Like, all right, you know, like, whoever the usher was yeah, sorry. Sorry. So, karmically, yeah, I'm rooting for the Giants. Yeah.
All right. So well, you have good reason.
I'm anti-Dodger,
like,
and I am pro-Evan Longoria, so go Giants. Sorry.
All right. All right.
All right. Now, so Matthew.
Go ahead, John.
Let's get some fantasy stuff. Now, I'm going to ask you a question I'm sure a lot of fantasy owners are asking you. I have Odell Beckham, and I keep putting him out there. I really don't have a much better option. I have Mecole Hardman on my bench. I have Nelson Aguilar. I have Tim Patrick. I have Zach Pascal. I mean, I got a bunch of guys who are just guys. But Beckham continues to disappoint.
I actually kind
of
like Tim Patrick, FYI.
Would you play Patrick ahead of Beckham?
It depends on sort of what you need. But that's not a crazy idea. I mean, Beckham's been terrible.
Right.
Beckham's been truly bad. The one thing I would say, I mean, and, you know, and Patrick, it's, you know, listen, it's not a great matchup against the Raiders. Raiders actually have a pretty good secondary. And, you know, Beckham's one of those guys that all he needs is one. I'll be honest with you. I have Tim Patrick at wide receiver 36. I have Odell Beckham at wide receiver 39 this week. So I would play Patrick over Beckham. I mean, it's not by a lot. We at ESPN, we project both for 12 points in PPR, so it's close. But I actually think Patrick has the higher floor. He's the safer play. Beckham, obviously, all he needs is one play to make your day. So, and he is due. I will give you that. But,
one question, Matthew. One question.
Yeah, what do you got?
T. Higgins or A.J. Brown?
You know what? I don't love A.J. Brown against Buffalo this week, but I'm still going with A.J. Brown. And I get it. Bengals are playing Detroit. But I'm still going with A.J. Brown.
And is Christian McCaffrey going to play? What's the this affects a lot of people. Is he going to
play?
Yeah,
it's not looking great. He missed practice again today. David Newton, who covers the Panthers for ESPN, does a great job for us, said he missed practice today, putting his status to for Sunday in doubt. So I don't think he's officially being designated as doubtful yet, but the fact that he missed he'd been practicing limited, you know, up until today, and then today he missed practice fully.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's did the hammy flare up, or is it just a day off, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. Last we heard from Matt Rhule, as he said, game time decision. But as of right now, not looking great for Christian McCaffrey.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's start out with Brian in Oxnard. Brian, you're on 710 with Matthew Berry. What's your question? He dropped. Let's go to Derek in Long Beach. Derek, you're on 710. What's your question for Matthew?
Jeez, despite the MLB, opinions, let's go. Russ, the Savior Wilson is out. So Taylor Heinicke or Carson Wentz?
I like both guys this week, actually. Both guys made my love list, but I'm going to go with Heinicke playing the Chiefs, who give up the most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks of any team in the NFL. The over-under on that one is 55.5, so the highest over-under on the slate. Washington's defense is terrible. I think Heinicke's going to get a lot of junk time.
All right, Derek, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jay in Birmingham, Alabama. Jay, you're on 710 with Matthew Berry. What's your question?
Devontae Booker or Damian Harris?
I'm going to go with Devontae Booker. I actually don't even think that it's all that close. Tough matchup with Dallas. Harris isn't involved in the passing game. I'm assuming you're playing PPR. I like Devontae Booker, who got 88% of the snaps once Saquon Barkley went down. Like, he's a true three-down back. They're going to use him a lot.
Okay, let's go to Giovanni in Highland. He's also got a Booker dilemma. Hey, Giovanni, what's up?
Hey, Matthew. I have to choose between, what's his name?
Devontae Booker?
Devontae Booker. And Emmanuel Sanders, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one, especially again. I'm probably going with Emmanuel Sanders there, again, assuming PPR. Look, Booker's going to touch the ball the most. Tough matchup with the Rams, obviously. Sanders just been so red hot, and the Titans are just a brutal defense. So I'm going to go with Sanders there. But I would say, like, again, if you just need 10 points, Booker's the safer play, but I like Sanders this week.
Okay, let's go to Eddie in Winnetka. Eddie, you're on 710 with Matthew Berry. What's your question?
Yeah, Claypool for Steelers or Leonard Fournette at flex?
I like both guys, but once again, I'm going to go with Claypool. No team in the NFL gives up more passing yards per game than Seattle. No Juju Smith-Schuster, so I expect a lot of targets for Chase Claypool. You know, with Fournette, looks like he's the guy against Philadelphia tonight, but they've got Giovanni Bernard there. They've obviously got a lot of weapons in Tampa Bay. I prefer Claypool.
Okay, let's get some off Twitter before we let you go. Michael Pittman Jr. or Devontae Smith?
Ooh, I like both guys, but I'm going to go with Pittman.
Devontae Booker or Khalil Herbert?
Booker. I know Damian Williams is now on the COVID list, Herbert, but Herbert's not involved in the passing game.
Leonard Fournette or Joe Mixon?
Mixon.
Any update on Michael Thomas injury?
Not as of yet. They're on a bye this week, obviously. But as of right now, the expectation is that he'll be back next week for the Saints.
All right. There you have it.
Here's a hard one from Twitter. Tom Brady or Dak Prescott?
Whew.
That is a hard one, and one that I don't think he can screw up. But I'm actually going to go with Tom Brady. Tom Brady's literally the number one quarterback in fantasy right now. Dak's playing New England. Should be a slow-paced game. You know, I'd rather go against the Eagles than Bill Belichick.
So I say this every week, Matthew, and I cannot be more emphatic about it. If you have not signed up for the Fantasy Life newsletter email that comes out every single day, you are missing out. The information is fantastic. Matthew, do you write that yourself?
I do not. A guy named Peter Overzet writes it every day. He's a great writer. Found him, hired him. He does a great job. It is, my writing is on ESPN, but it is, as we like to say, written by Peter, approved by Matthew. So Peter does a great job with it, and his thinking and my thinking often align. You can just sign up. You can sign up for free. Just go to fantasylife.com/newsletter or at fantasylife.com, and you'll see the link for the newsletter as well. And listen, it's a free newsletter. If you don't like it, just unsubscribe. It comes every single day. Everything you need to know, rankings, news, analysis, links. It's funny. He's a good writer. It's a quick read and basically gets you set for the day in fantasy football.
And don't forget Love Hate List on ESPN, ESPN Fantasy Podcast, and, of course, all the stuff you do on ESPN+. Hey, Matthew, thanks a lot for coming on, as always, man. We're rooting against the Giants really, really hard here in Los Angeles.
I would expect nothing less. So
I hope you are wrong, my friend. I hope you are wrong.
Fair enough. I have been before. Wouldn't be the first time.
Okay.
Anyway.
Thank you, Matthew.
See you guys.
All right, there's Matthew Berry, talented Mr. Roto. By the way, John, my fantasy team is on a tear. On a tear.
You're 1-4 and tied for last place.
But it's all the pieces are coming together. By the way, here's a dilemma. So Christian McCaffrey's probably going to be out, it sounds like. A lot of running backs I have on buys. Damian Williams is out. It means I would have to start Devontae Booker from the Giants against the Rams.
You should. He's their number one running back.
I think I'd rather start nobody in that spot than start somebody who's going to be playing the Rams. I'm going to start nobody.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hallmark. I hate to play the Giants. I will not put anybody in that spot. I'll play without one running back.
Let me ask you something.
Yep.
Dave Roberts and Gabe Kapler, the competing managers, are friends. Kapler used to work for the Dodgers, and now he's a manager of the Giants. Kapler's talking to the media right now.
Yep.
And he says Dave Roberts texted him last night to tell him Knable was starting.
Really?
I wouldn't have done that, would you?
That's crazy. I'm
friends with you, but if I was managing the Giants and you were managing the Dodgers, I wouldn't. I mean, you can find out when you find out.
Wow. I can't imagine why you would do that. Why would you tip your hand? I mean, I understand he's your friend and all that stuff, but why are you giving him inside information? As a courtesy.
Seems weird to me.
Who cares about courtesy, man? This is chess.
Screw courtesy.
This is three-dimensional chess. By the way, Bill Plunkett also says the Giants will not set their lineup until Tommy La Stella goes through pregame workout. He's been dealing with a sore Achilles, so no lineup yet.
Liar.
For the Giants out. All right.
He's playing possum. He's like, you're going to mess with us, we're going to mess with you. We'll give you the lineup right before the game.
John, I may have done something very stupid. I will tell you what it is coming up next.
Shocking.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, we're getting ready for Game 5, NLDS Oracle Park tonight. Somebody is going to finish the year, or at least reach 110 wins. The Dodgers have 109. The Giants have 109. They are locked now in this series. And tonight, the Dodgers are using an opener, Corey Knebel, expecting Julio Urias to throw the bulk of the game. Meanwhile, it's Logan Webb, who was so good in Game 1. By the way, the Dodgers need to make a big adjustment. Logan Webb threw 39 changeups in his first start, and the Dodgers chased him. Their chase rate was very high. Normally, they're very, very disciplined, but that down-and-away stuff they kept swinging at, little sliders and changeups, didn't lean on the fastball very much. The Dodgers have spent a lot of time, I'm sure, looking at video and trying to figure this out, and I think they're going to make an adjustment, and Logan Webb's going to make an adjustment. But seeing a guy for a second time is always an advantage. You always are better off having seen him once. All right, so John, tell me if I did something stupid. Bergie, tell me if I did something stupid. Whoring. I just sent this tweet. I'm all caps going on the record. I love using Knebel as the opener and still throwing Urias the bulk of the game. It will set up better matchups for late in the game. Feel free to spit this back at me if I'm wrong.
No, I don't. I mean, I understand the strategy behind it. I think you're wrong now. I don't need to wait for the game. I think you're wrong now. Now, you may be proven right. I feel exactly the opposite. I wouldn't do this to – if you're not going to do it to Kershaw and you're not going to do it to Buehler and you're not going to do it to Scherzer, I don't know why you would do it to Julio. By the way, something else you said, our social sent it out, the ESPN LA social sent it out. You said you don't understand why Roberts would call Kapler and tip his hand. Bill Plunkett has responded to that, to what you said.
Okay.
Plunkett says – Plunkett says it's a fairly standard courtesy that most managers extend to each other. So
not
maybe
in game five.
The way things are done in baseball.
Yeah, God, not in game five. Who cares about it? Screw courtesy? What use is courtesy when you're playing chess? Why tell the other guy your first move?
If you called me and told me what you were doing, I would question if you were telling me the truth or if you were just messing with me.
True. I'm surprised. I mean, if that really is something that is done, I suppose it's done. I don't think I would have done it in this situation. You've got the two best teams in baseball coming down to 9 innings, 54 outs, as I like to say, 54 outs. Why does everybody laugh when I say 54 outs?
Because it's wrong.
It isn't wrong.
Okay, let's put it this way.
There are 54 outs in the game.
Why do you care about your own outs? I only care about getting the 27 that I need for the other team.
Well, but also you have to think about it this way, because it's if you have to get to the bottom of the ninth, and let's say it's the Giants in the bottom of the ninth tonight, they're not going to go.
Which it will be no matter what.
Okay, so if they get – yeah, so most of the time, though, let's say they hit a home run and they take it and they take
it. How many outs will be recorded tonight?
It could be 51,
or why? It could be,
because the bottom of the ninth doesn't get played all the time.
I see what you're saying.
Right, and also if it's, let's say it's tied and they go to extra innings, then there's more outs.
Don't you ever
27
get to a
outs?
Point, don't you ever get to a point like in that 1-0 game that we were at? I said to myself, "We've got 9 outs left. We've got 9 outs left to get this done." Don't you ever think that or say that?
No, because it can go to overtime, or, I mean, extra innings, sorry. I'm nervous.
By the way,
Yes, John, I do that, though. I do say there's 9 outs left. Okay, we just got to get these last 9 outs. But that's for them, because
you
they're in
the top.
You don't
say, we've got 9 outs left to win the game.
Right, but that's when it. But that's in the 6th inning, or the 7th inning. 7th, 8th, 9th.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to stick with 54 outs.
It's weird. You're the only one ever say that in history of baseball.
I am going to trademark that. 54 outs is what we will
good
see
luck
tonight
with that.
In this game. I'm trademarking it now. Don't anybody beat me to it. I'm going to do a Twitter handle.
No one wants it.
At 54 outs.
Put it on a T-shirt.
Put it on a T-shirt. 54 outs.
Copyright it.
Going to. By the way, if you missed it, the Dodgers starting lineup tonight, Mookie Betts in right, Corey Seager batting second at short, Trey Turner in the three-hole, Will Smith, who has been great, 2 home runs in this series so far, batting fourth. Justin Turner, who is 1 of 17 in the series, is batting fifth. Gavin Lux, who has been red hot in center field. Cody Bellinger batting seventh at first base. So we get Cody at first base, who I feel great trust in. Defensively, Chris Taylor in left. He's been hitting the ball hard, been scalding the baseball. And then Corey Knebel, if you're just tuning in, Corey Knebel will be the starter tonight, the opener tonight. Expected to go, he could go one inning. When they did this against the Giants back on September 3rd, Corey Knebel gave them 2 clean innings. And that means it's up to Gabe Kapler to figure out exactly how he's going to handle that to make up the matchups, to make the matchups work for the Giants. I thought Gabe Kapler had a really bad game 4. I thought he managed like a frantic guy. He took a frantic approach. He burned through everybody, and he burned through everybody too fast. What do you think, John?
Well, I think that's part of what the decision was today. I think that if you look at it, what the Dodgers did, they're making Gabe Kapler decide, okay, you ran out of players in game 4. We're going to make you use a bunch of your players early if you want to, you know, if you want to go that way. So I think that those two things are related. I think the fact that he managed frantically in game four helped the Dodgers make him make these decisions tonight. Don't you?
I do. I think the Dodgers saw that and said, we can get this guy to play into our trap. This is really a trap that they've set. And Gabe Kapler has to figure out how to deal with it. Does he walk into the trap? Does he throw out all his left-handers against Knebel in the first and the second inning? Or does he sit back and let the right-handers stack the right-handers, expecting Julio to get to throw the bulk of the game? It's going to be interesting to see the way that plays out. All right, coming up next for you, some different stuff. We got jump ball for you. By the way, don't forget, Lakers Ticket Thursday. At some point today, John Ireland telling a lie. If you figure out the lie at 3:30 and you call in, you can win a pair of tickets to see Lakers-Warriors Tuesday night, the Lakers 2021 opener. You can be there in a fancy suite on Lakers Ticket Thursday. John, I don't know that I've detected a lie yet. This is just me. I don't know that I've detected one.
Do you want me to tell you if I've told it?
Yes.
I have.
I know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know it too.
I know what it is. That's coming up at 3:30. Coming up next is Jump Ball, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right, here we go. The Washington football team announced this morning that they are going to retire Sean Taylor's number 21 before Sunday's home game versus the Chiefs. Well overdue and really a great move by them. But, with everything that is going on around WFT, or WFT, or Washington football team, whatever.
I don't think they call it WOOF.
What did you say, WOOF?
I think we should call it WOOF.
Can we call it WOOF from now on? I think we should do that. Anything that's going around, WOOF.
You should trademark that, WOOF.
Trademark.
Greg,
done.
Twitter is not real life.
WOOF is not real life. Does this feel like a look over here and don't pay attention to that other stuff move, John?
Yeah, actually it does. I mean, why wouldn't you have retired Sean Taylor's number right after he died? It just doesn't seem like every time the Washington football team does something, Mace, I think that it's with an ulterior motive.
Yeah, me too. I'm suspicious. I would say it is a look over here kind of move to do it right now at this moment when the organization is embroiled in controversy. I would love to know when the decision was made. Like, did they decide before the season? Did they decide last week? Did they decide on Tuesday? When did they decide to retire his number? And I think especially given the fact that Bruce Allen and John Gruden had those email exchanges going back and forth, I think it's a classic misdirection play. So, yeah, I do not trust anything that the WOOFT does.
WOOFT.
I'm fully down, man.
I'm a big fan of that now. That's really
good. It's good. I like it. Yeah.
All right, so Jonah Hill is very body conscious. He has gone from really big to really skinny, or at least, you know, skinny, and has decided that he does not want anyone talking about his weight anymore, and went to Instagram to say, "I know you mean well, but I kindly ask that you not comment on my body," with a heart emoji. Good or bad, I want to politely let you know it's not helpful and it doesn't feel good. Much respect. Now, women have been going through this forever.
Yep.
What do you think of Jonah's request?
You know, it's a really interesting question. People have become very body conscious, and people are trying to figure out different ways to talk about people's weight and people's level of health. I've met Jonah. I met him when he was... I'm doing exactly what he doesn't want. I met him when he was very thin, when he was doing Wolf of Wall Street. He's a great guy, but clearly he's got sort of an up and down, yo-yo thing going on. It probably is unfair to ask him about his weight in an interview situation. And maybe, is it unfair to speculate, John?
No, I think this is part of being an actor. I mean, like Greg said, women have been putting up with this forever.
Adele, what are we saying about Adele's weight?
That she looks great. I mean, it seems to me that Adele, everybody's been really complimentary of her now, that we weren't really talking about her weight very much when she was heavier.
True.
So I don't know what he's really asking for. I never talked about Jonah Hill's weight before this. So it's not a big adjustment for me. But I'll say this. Did you guys know, are either one of you guys watching Impeachment on FX?
Yes.
Is it common knowledge that Beanie Feldstein, who plays Monica Lewinsky, is Jonah Hill's sister?
I mean, I know it, but I don't think everybody knows that. Yeah, Beanie Feldstein is Jonah's sister.
Yeah, she's just killing it.
Yeah, she's like, great.
The episode on Tuesday was unbelievable. But if Jonah Hill doesn't want us to talk about his weight, I'm okay with it because, Jonah, I never talked about your weight before.
Yeah, you know
so
what,
we'll
Jonah?
Just continue on as
stop
we were.
Calling attention to it. We weren't even talking about it.
Jorge, what you got?
All right, so last night I went to the store.
Okay.
And I'm buying all kinds of stuff like wipes, like, you know, disinfecting wipes and whatnot. So I'm in the aisle trying to get another item. And I noticed this lady take my disinfecting wipes out of my cart.
Mm.
I didn't say anything because I didn't want to be that guy and create anything. But should I have said something to this woman for taking my wipes?
Well, were they the last wipes
on the
shelf?
No. She just didn't want to make the run all the way to the front of the store and get them.
That's weird. I think that's really improper and rude.
Right?
I think I would have said something.
I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to be that person and create drama and I just didn't want to go through all of that.
I would have said, lady, give me my wipes back.
All right, Jorge, did you know for a fact that there were more wipes available at the front of the store?
Positive.
Then I wouldn't have said anything.
Okay.
I just would have said, you know, I don't want the argument. I don't want an engagement with this person. This person's obviously messed up in the head. They're stealing wipes out of other
right,
people's
man.
Cart. You know, I think you handled it exactly right. You did what I would have done.
Lady, give me my wipes back.
Greg, what do you think, man?
Yeah, same thing. Those are mine. Thank you. I'm going to take that back now.
Woofed.
Woofed.
Those are my wipes, lady. Woofed.
You should just scream that at people from now on. All right, so in one of those, oh no, that's so sad moments, Lance McCullers, who is the ace of the Houston Astros, is most likely out for the entire ALCS. Oh, yeah. That's so sad. How much do you think this will swing the ALCS towards the Red Sox, and do you want to see either team in the World Series?
Well, as I've said, I think the most dramatic series would be Dodgers-Astros. Lance McCullers is a really big blow. And by the way, you can't act the way you're doing it. You can't act like you're happy about an injury.
No. I'm not happy about an injury. I'm just saying that's sad for them. I mean, I feel bad
just
for him.
The way you're saying it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's a big blow to them. I actually think the Astros are still going to find a way to advance, and I think it's going to be a Dodgers-Astros World Series.
I came to a realization this morning. If the Dodgers lose tonight, I'm done watching.
Mm.
I don't think I'll watch another inning if the Dodgers aren't in it. Are you guys any different?
I'm with you.
I'm there, too. That's me.
I am there, too. I can't. I mean, my heart will be broken. I cannot watch if things go wrong tonight. So, yeah, the playoffs will be over. So it won't matter unless we see him in the World Series. It won't matter. I could care if it's Houston. I could care if it's Boston. It is weird, though.
Me too.
It is the team we lost to in 2017 and the team we lost to in 2018 in the ALCS. But, yeah, if we don't advance, I'm done with baseball for this year.
See, I'm that's
by the way, knowing that we will be carrying ESPN will be carrying the World Series here.
But see, here's the, that's how I am with all the sports though. Like even the NBA, if the Lakers go out, I'm like, I'm done. I don't need to watch this anymore because I'm hurt that my team is out. Baseball, basketball, football, it doesn't matter. When my team's out, I'm a fan of all the sports, but I don't need to watch the playoffs. The Super Bowl is the only thing I'll watch.
I'm more a Dodger fan than I am a baseball fan. I'm more a Lakers fan than I am an NBA fan. John, I would say you're probably an NBA fan as well as being a Lakers fan.
Oh, and an NFL fan, too. I would watch any NFL game, no matter if my teams are in it or not. I'll watch every NFL playoff game. I'll watch an NFL playoff game between Jacksonville and Tennessee. I don't care. But in baseball, that's not true. If the Dodgers are out, I'm out.
Yep, I'm out, too. 100%. And you can hear the games right here on 710 ESPN.
So, shame. Yes, you can. Mike Schilt of the Cardinals is out as manager. He pushed the Cards into the wild card and was a Chris Taylor home run in the bottom of the ninth away from going to extra innings and possibly moving to the NLDS. Oh, yeah, he also won 17 games in a row to end the season. Do you agree with this move from the Cardinals?
John, is it Mozeliak? Is that how you pronounce his last name? I'm not sure.
Yeah, John Mozeliak.
The GM of the Cardinals came out today and said, we saw things different. We had a different vision for the future of the franchise. So this is example number 1,000 of the hardest part of any job is doing what your boss wants.
Mm-hmm.
Even especially when you disagree with it. But you, if you really want that job and you love that job, you've got to find a way to do what your boss wants. And it sounds like Schilt couldn't do that, and so he's out. I wouldn't have fired him. I thought that I think that he automatically becomes a contender for all these other managerial openings, and maybe even in the Padres.
Maybe Padres, but, yeah.
Yeah, I think this was an example of a guy who couldn't do what his boss wanted.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a vision, if you're John Mozeliak, I think is the way you pronounce it, Mozeliak, the president of baseball operations there, if you have a vision and somebody's not executing your vision, well, you've got to get somebody else. John, this is exactly not doing what your boss wants you to do. Basically, that's what Mozeliak said, is that Schilt was not executing the plans that Mozeliak wanted. I mean, Gabe Kapler is executing Farenzaiti's plan. Dave Roberts is executing Andrew Friedman's plan. We are in that era where that is just the way things go. So if Schilt wasn't playing the game that Mozeliak set up, then I understand why they got rid of him. But I'll tell you what, I think he's a good manager, and I think he's going to land somewhere really, really fast.
Do you think that having Adam Wainwright, Paul Goldschmidt, and Nolan Arenado, and the O'Neill guy that went crazy, and
Tyler O'Neill,
and still not able to win and make it to the actual playoffs?
It was one game.
Right,
they made it to the wild card game. And we've always said the wild card game, anything can happen. I was nervous as a Dodger fan for the wild card game. Anybody can lose a game.
Sure, but they had to win 17 in a row in September to get there.
But they won 17 in a row.
Right, but they were out of it for so long. So I just think that there was most of the year they were just kind of floundering with all those guys. Healthy.
So you would have you agree with firing him?
No, I don't agree with firing him. I'm just giving you another point of view.
Okay. Woofed.
Woofed.
Woofed. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Coming up next for you, first of all, I was really hurt and disappointed and upset that Matthew Berry is rooting for the Giants. That was upsetting to me. It's sort of like when I found out Jorge is a 49ers fan. It really upsets me. It changes my view of a person permanently. Coming up next for you, we will reinforce the permanent nature of my not-stepdad, Leo, who is from San Francisco. He's a Notre Dame fan. He's a 49ers fan. He is a Golden State Warriors fan. And he is a Giants fan. And more than that, he's a Dodgers hater. So we'll give him a couple of minutes. He's not family, but I see him a lot, right? He's not really family, do you think, John?
Oh, he is your family now. He's living with your mom.
Yeah, I know, but it's just they're just living together. He's not actually my blood, right? So it doesn't really count as family. We'll bring Leo in here coming up next for you. And then at 3:15, we're going to do some gambling with the Fez as we continue to get ready for Game 5 NLDS. Dodgers go with an opener, Corey Knebel. Julio Urias will pitch the bulk of the game, but they're going with Corey Knebel as the starter versus Logan Webb, who was so damn good in Game 1. Dramatic finish to the NLDS coming up for you tonight, and we are all over it for you. And don't forget, it's Lakers Ticket Thursday. At some point today, Ireland has told a lie. If you think you know what it is, and you call in at 3:30, you will win a pair of fancy suite tickets to be at Staples Center for opening night, Lakers versus the Golden State Warriors. So think about it. John told us the lie has already been told. 3:30 is your chance to win. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.